You've already heard the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, tune in for the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations, my friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado, a pastor. But the reason I'm here today with you, I'm a father of five. And I homeschool my children out in Elbert, Colorado, as did a family in Germany, but not so anymore. Germany has imprisoned a homeschool mom as of last Thursday. The dad and children have escaped to Austria. But this mom was homeschooling her 12 kids when she was interrupted by a female plainclothes police officer, rang the house on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock. When she opened the door, the officers rushed in and imprisoned her for 10 days. Homeschooling is illegal in Germany, has been since Hitler banned it in 1938. Nothing has changed since Hitler banned homeschooling, something like 70 years ago in Germany, and now a homeschool mom is in prison in Germany. Thank God that's not happening here, huh, Dave? Or we would be in prison here in America. Well, the left is scared, and they're scared about us. Maybe that's why they're imprisoning homeschoolers out in Germany. I don't know. But they're scared. A website called Talk to Action is a leftist pro-homosexual, pro-abortion website, and they are freaked out about the Christian right, Dave. The homeschooling movement, they got all kinds of articles about it, and they've linked to our site.
To KevinSwanson.com?
Yeah, we're somebody now. We are a link on Talk to Action, a site that is scared about homeschoolers. And, you know, I think they ought to be scared, Dave.
Well, I think they should, too, because they want to reform society, and there's going to be somebody else that's trying to reform society, only differently.
Yeah, we're on the march. And if you're listening, Talk to Action, or any other leftist organization, perhaps Rosie O'Donnell, she's scared, too, I've heard.
Yeah, she is. She's afraid of the Christian Taliban, whoever they are.
Yeah. Well, anyway, these guys are scared about us, and they ought to be scared, because homeschoolers, according to that recent report from Brian Ray, homeschoolers are 14 times more likely to be involved in politics. All right, he surveyed 7,200 homeschool graduates, found that they were 14 times, I'm not talking about 14%, my friends, talking about 14 times more likely to involve themselves in politics, to impact politics, which means that homeschoolers could very well be the majority of political activists in 20 years from now. So, yeah, they're winning the moot court contest, they're winning spelling bees and geography bees, and they're scoring way up there in academic contests. They're three times more likely to get master's degrees, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Homeschoolers will be the movers and shakers of the next couple of decades. So, yeah, I think that the left ought to be scared. And here's the message for the left. We are going to take over the world. We're really going to take over, my friends. We're going to take over the world. The cause of Christ and his law is going to prevail on planet Earth because, well, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He created the world. He is sovereign ruler of the entire world. He has a law system. He establishes his system of righteousness by means, or his system of ethics by means of his law. And Jesus is taking over the world. All right? So that's the message. But a caveat here. Don't get too scared, folks. We're not going to do it by killing children, by gaining political power, by engaging in bloody pogroms, by euthanizing the old and aborting the young, by huge top-down socialist political systems, such as those used by big government advocates like Talk to Action, or Stalin, or Hitler. All the big government advocates in history have used these horrible, horrible methods. We don't believe in that. That's the other worldview. We're not into the power-based programs that encourage the murder of the undesirables. Okay, that's the other worldview. That's not our worldview. We don't believe in changing the world by big government, by gaining a whole bunch of political control and forcing people to live a certain way by government power. Now, we know that the left believes that. And they've been trying to do that in Germany, outlawing homeschooling out there and all the other things. We know the left wants to gain as much political power as possible and destroy society that way. But we don't believe in that. We believe in changing the world by humble service to God and to others. We believe that people's hearts need to be changed from being self-centered, power-hungry, and hateful. Because by nature, you are that way. You're self-centered. You think about yourself all the time. You do everything for yourself. You'll even abort children so you'll have a better life. You're power hungry. You want to gain political power. You want to exercise political power over others all the time. And you're hateful by nature. So you got to change the hearts of people from being that way to being sacrificial lovers. To sacrificially love others and care for the orphan and widow, not by tossing them into some government program, but by actually opening up your own wallet and visiting the widow and helping the orphan. That's what we believe in. That's our worldview. We believe that the strong should sacrifice for the weak, and we fight for the survival of the weakest. That's our worldview. Now, I know it sounds weird. All this sounds really weird to the humanist, self-centered, existential mind. John Paul Sartre said, hell is other people. And he really meant it. And that's the way most people live. But that's not the way we're supposed to live. We live sacrificially giving our lives for others. Now, do we really want our children? Dave, I want you to answer this one. Do we really want our children to take over the world? Or do we want them to learn to love the orphan and visit the widow?
Both. Both. We want them, first off, to love the orphan, the widow, to love their neighbor. But by doing so, they will be used by God to take over the world.
That's how we do it. That's our strategy. And you say, wow, that's a really boring strategy. Talk about an ignominious agenda. you're gonna take care of the orphan and visit the widow and pray for the dying and disciple little kids in your home as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up and as you lie down. Wow, that's a really boring agenda. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in a moment we're going to speak with a homeschool mom who went through this thought process. Her family became very influential in the state of Florida. They were excelling. Her kids, seven kids, they were excelling, winning all the achievement awards, and then she had a profound change of heart and direction. I ran into Marty Freeman in Michigan last week. And she has a story to tell. You're going to love this story. It's a story about how a family changed the world. We'll be back in just a moment.
You are listening to Generations with Kevin Swanson. It's Generations, and here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Folks, welcome back to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson with you today. And today we want to talk about raising our children to change the world for Jesus Christ. And with me on the air is Marty Freeman. I met Marty at a conference in Michigan last weekend, and boy, did we have a great time, Marty, didn't we?
We had a wonderful time.
Yes, Marty has homeschooled seven children in Florida since 1986, six boys and a girl. And Marty, your oldest son has graduated from law school and now practices law in Fresno, California.
That's right. He married his law school sweetheart that he met through a Christian online law school, and they are both practicing law in Fresno.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, your kids are high achievers. As a lot of homeschool kids are high achievers. They do a great job. They score well on nationally standardized tests. They do well in moot court competitions, speech debate competitions. They tend to be high achievers, don't they?
It's true. Having homeschooled for 20 years, we have seen a lot of home-educated children over the years, and we've found that you can tell just about four things about most homeschool kids, and that's number one, that they're smart, and they do test very high, they snag most of the scholarships, and the statistics are really beginning to show that. Secondly, they're talented, because we mommies tend to take those wonderful kids to every event that they are really have a passion about. So whether it's violin or dance or piano or whatever that talent is, homeschool children usually get to pursue that talent at a faster clip than most kids. And three, we see they're socially mature because they have had the advantage of interacting with multi-generations and people in the real world rather than being segregated into an artificial group of kids their own age. And four, we see that they are incredibly blessed. Most homeschool kids are raised in families that have two parents, which is becoming unusual today. Usually one parent stays home full-time, which is also unusual, and they have the advantage of a faith-based education. So what happens, though, when you get this group of people that are smart, talented, socially mature, and blessed, is that there is a tendency for those receivers to begin to think, maybe I deserve these wonderful things. And so we found ourselves in that situation, raising great kids who were high achievers, winning competitions, coming in first in whatever thing we put them into, just rising to the top anytime they interact with the public school children or private school children. But we found that they were getting big heads and little hearts. Their heads were growing bigger than their hearts. And I like to say we were raising brats.
So in the end, you had a change of perspective, a change of direction, didn't you?
We did. We saw that no matter what curriculum we opened to try to learn about compassion or kindness or empathy or love, it was textbook. And so we decided to pull our children out of a lot of those activities, which there was nothing wrong with them. It just was wrong for our family at that season. And we put them into service projects. So we just chose the local nursing homes, and we just began going to nursing homes every week. And I think our oldest child was about 7 or 8 years old when we began going in.
How did you begin to do that? I mean, obviously you looked around for opportunities to engage with the world out there, and especially needy people. How did you set out to do that?
We happened to know someone who already had a nursing home ministry. So at first we began to hitchhike with her and meet this wonderful widow who was already meeting at the nursing homes every week. And then we began to branch out. We would make a relationship with one grandmother or grandfather at a certain nursing home, and then we just got courage and called a nursing home and asked if we could come by. Our children had already had piano lessons and practiced many speeches for debate. So we asked the activities directors at various nursing homes if we could come in and basically entertain or just be available. So our children got an opportunity to practice some of the things that they were working on, as well as interact with the seniors there.
Marty, how did your children interact with the elderly folks? Did they warm up to them right away?
No. And as a matter of fact, I didn't warm up to them right away. I had never been around seniors my whole life growing up. Therefore, when I walked through the door, I was taken back. There are smells in nursing homes that are offensive. Sometimes they don't have all of their mind there. They drool. You know, they do things that are unexpected. And they're not Christians, so sometimes they say things that are very offensive because they don't know any better. Well, when I got into that environment, my heart just stopped. It was very difficult for me, but I put into the planner, and we decided we were going to try it for a year. And it did take a few months for my comfort level to get there. And as I began branching out, those children would come out from behind me and begin to hold a hand, sit down and listen, ask a question. Many seniors like to share about their experiences either through the Depression or World War II, which is an outstanding in-person history lesson that you can't get out of a book.
Wow. Now, these folks are not necessarily the most desirable folks in the world. In other words, they've been relegated to a rest home in many cases, and it was probably difficult for your children to find ways to serve them and meet their needs.
At first, it was difficult because they were taking their cues from me, and as soon as I began to warm up, they began to warm up also. As I would chat with them, and I would also role play with my children a little bit when we got more comfortable, and I would give them questions to ask, and do you remember the Depression? Do you remember what happened during World War II? And just begin to spark their interest in asking questions. As you keep going back to the same nursing home, what inevitably happens is that your children will bond with certain seniors, and those seniors will just light up when your child walks through the door, which is a very powerful encouragement to them. They are often very lonely. They often feel neglected, and to have a child come in and just hold the hand of a child is like medicine to their soul.
You know, I bet there are folks thinking right now, this is not going to turn my kid into a Harvard graduate and contribute to a net income of $150,000 a year if I put them through this particular experience. But, you know, when you do this, you find your children are blessed in the process, aren't they?
Well, what we found is that if you focus mostly on academic excellence, which is something that we were doing, and neglect moral excellence, that you produce a child whose head is bigger than his heart. And I believe it was Eleanor Roosevelt who said that if we educate people in only their mind and forget to educate their character and their soul, that we are producing a menace for society. And I think we all can think of world leaders, state leaders who are very, very smart people, but they lack moral character. So we found if you will take the time to till, we call it tilling the soil of a young person's heart by opening their eyes to the needs around them, you can toss academic seeds on that good soil, and they will grow for the right reasons. Those young people will have the right motivation to learn, especially once they get an idea of their calling and their vision for their own future.
Did you find that the elderly folks that you visited would actually contribute to the education of your children? Would they, you know, give them some history and some lessons in life that would be valuable for your children?
Not only did that happen almost every time that we went, just by asking, picking their brains and letting them talk about themselves, but I do remember one particular lady who has now passed away, who was a paraplegic, and of course we thought when we went to visit her that we would be the ones who were giving, and we gave our time and kind of stepped out of our own world into her world, put our schedules behind, and just listened to what she had to say. And the amazing part was that this lady had been a paraplegic for probably 30 years. She had been hit by a drunk driver when she was about 28 or 29 years old and had four young children. And yet, having spent 30 years in a nursing home as a paraplegic, fully dependent on aides and a revolving staff of aides to feed her and change her and move her and pick up the phone for her if she wanted to talk to a relative, her spirit and her attitude was one of gratefulness and not bitterness. This was so striking to us that I began to ask her after we got to know her, wasn't this hard for you? How is it that you have such grace? And she began to share with us and then directly with our children the power of forgiveness, forgiving a man who hit her as a drunk and walked away without a scratch from that accident and had never contacted her to apologize. But she was so full of gratefulness and would actually say to our children, thank you so much for coming today. Thank you. You have invested in my life, and it means a great deal to me. And then she would just pour from her life instruction to our children about being thankful for every breath that you have and being thankful for all the gifts that God has given to you. When I saw that relationship beginning to develop between this lady and my children, I realized that there was no textbook nor any mommy lecture that I could ever deliver that would stay with them the way that lady's exhortation to my children stayed week after week. It was a very dramatic change. I will say, though, that it was a slow change for our family at first. We looked at all of our opportunities and activities before we put them into our planner as typically, how will this benefit our family? How will this benefit this child? What kind of credits does he need this year? What kind of, how does he need to have his talent sharpened? And then, of course, I would make all of the necessary sacrifices to make sure that whatever would benefit my child got into that schedule. And that was our former thinking. And after about 6 months of nursing home ministry, we began to notice a subtle change in the conversation around our dinner table. When we heard of a problem or an issue in our church family or in our neighborhood or an extended family, our first attitude was, how can we make a difference? What can we do to make a difference in those people's lives rather than what can we put in the schedule that will make a difference for us?
And I think every family is looking for ways in which they can make a real impact on the world around them, Marty. And I think what you've done is found some significant ways where you really are making an impact, and you do so by making an impact in the lives of individuals in your community.
Well, I appreciate that. We also encourage families that if you have extended family, grandparents in your own family, to start there and be of service. We go down once a month approximately to my father-in-law's house about 100 miles away and serve him and just take his to-do list and do whatever he needs to have done. And we do it in Jesus' name, expecting nothing in return. We jump into elections every other year and just roll up our sleeves and say, we are humbly here to serve you, the candidate of our best choice, and give us a job. And it's greatly appreciated.
Folks, we're touching the heart of a true education, what Christ would call his education program today on Generations. And we appreciate Marty Freeman, who took some time out to share with us today. Thanks, Marty.
God bless you.
And that, my friends, is how you change the world. one child at a time, one act of service at a time. You know, these things will mold the character of our children. And more than that, they teach our children what life is all about. Our modern education system is much more focused at pursuing a life of personal peace and affluence than it is in conveying the world and life view that Jesus presents in the Bible. This is what life is about. This is the Jesus way of life. In that day, you will say, when did we visit you in prison? When did we give you food to eat? When did we clothe you? And Jesus will say, in so much as you've done it to the least of one of these, you did it unto me. Let's train our children. Let's educate them in this world and life view, my friends. Well, that's all the time we have today on this program. You have been listening to Generations, and you can get a free news magazine from us, which comes out 4 times a year by just simply going to kevinswanson.com and clicking on Free News Magazine. It's a beautiful four-color news magazine that comes out 4 times a year. We send it anywhere in the United States. Again, go to kevinswanson.com and click on Free News Magazine. And you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.